Thank you, Esther. That's very nice. I was wondering who you're talking about. It didn't sound like me. My topic is Serving God in the Summer Seasons of Life. Stan Miller, the writer of this article and the Christian Bible teacher, describes this time as the Martha, Martha times. In Luke 10, 38 to 42, if we open our Bible, we'll read Luke 10, 38 to 42. Okay, in Luke 10, 38 to 42, it states, "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Here, as we read, Martha is a very kind and respectable woman who does what seems to be appropriate. She welcomes Jesus to her home, and like a hospitable host, she serves her guest, Jesus. However, Jesus sees Martha differently. In Luke 10, 41 to 42, as we just read, Jesus states, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Here, Jesus tells us that the things of this world, the many distractions of life, are things we do not need. They are things that can be easily be taken away. But what Mary had was an everlasting life of God's word that will be put into her heart and mind and will help her go through life and live eternally with the Heavenly Father. The summer life, as described by Stan Miller, is the prime time of life. A life that lives between 31 to 45 years of age. A life of many great activities and responsibilities. A life of growing and learning about how to survive in this world. This is a time of many worldly distractions that can eventually cause spiritual faith to fall. It is during this period of my life, I'm like Martha, distracted of the many things around me. I focused on maintaining, seeking more from my career, improving my relationship with my husband, and helping my children excel academically. Because of these many activities and responsibilities, my spiritual faith in the Lord did not grow. I was like that of the seed in the book of Matthew 13:22. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful." Often, I wonder why there are not more than 24 hours and 7 days in a week. I was the type of person who loved to learn more and wanted to do so many things. I had been a nurse for 13 years at UCSF Medical Center and had enjoyed all the new information and many challenges that the medical field provided. I took many positions as a nurse. I worked in different specialty units. I was like a float nurse, working one unit one day, another unit the next. I tried learning as much as possible. But this was not enough. I became a home health nurse, where I would travel to people's homes to care for them. In my spare time, I also became an on-call nurse at City Medical Center. I juggled with 3 jobs and learned as much as possible. A desire to learn more also brought me to a graduate nursing program at USF. Throughout my nursing career, I tried to improve my skills and knowledge. However, I did not succeed. I felt there was not enough time in the day to learn so many things. My interest outside of the medical field led me to look into the business career opportunities. Hoping to earn more and still be flexible with my nursing, I worked for a telecommunication and real estate company. These were self-paced jobs that I thought I would be able to fit into my nursing career. However, these jobs, like any job, took time to learn and be able to use. Throughout this so-called job hopping, I tried to continue serving the Lord. In addition to going to Sunday services and Bible study classes, I would read scriptures daily and did my bedtime prayers every night. However, as you can probably guess, my time and energy became limited, and I was often too tired to read God's word and say a bedtime prayer. My spiritual faith was in jeopardy. My relationship with the Lord began to fall farther and farther apart. I began to feel lonely, fearful, and anxious of my surroundings, especially during difficult times. With all these distractions I had with my career, when was I going to make time for the Lord? I knew what I needed in my life was God's Word. But like Martha in the book of Luke, I was distracted in doing worldly things that would not last forever. It states in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In this period of my life, I also focused on a relationship with my husband. After being married for 17 years, we were able to make it through, which I believe is the most difficult time in a married life. The first 10 years of marriage was a time of getting to know one another. This is where you learn of each other's good and bad habits. Once you made it through the 10-year mark, the next stage is trying to maintain a healthy, loving relationship. As we all know, this is not always the case like that in my life. My husband and I still have the ups and downs of marriage. Our arguments may have lessened in its frequency, but when it does happen, it can be very devastating, as if a bomb has been sitting for many years waiting to explode. I don't know why this still happens, but I believe this phase all marriages go through. Feelings are different between a couple after 17 years. Love is very strong. When an argument occurs, anger overcomes, which can lead to marital unhappiness if not resolved quickly. Most arguments at this stage often begin with some senseless event that leads to severe disagreement. For example, one day my husband and I argued about keeping his dirty work shoes in the garage. This simple argument led to us not to speaking to another and having my husband sleep on the living room couch. Many times the long-lasting arguments continue because of me. I tend to bring about old arguments and add to the present time. I'm like a tape recorder that stores everything and plays it back when we begin to argue. So let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, which is in Ephesians 4:31-32. Many times frustrations occur between couples because the workload of having a family is too much. It needs two people, a man and a woman, to balance a strong Christian family. It takes the man to be the head of the household and the woman to be the helper and nurturer of a family. Without this balance, dynamics of the family becomes chaotic, and the consequences may lead to everlasting pain and sorrow. Therefore, let's remember that from the beginning, the Lord had brought both man and woman together. In Ephesians 5:31, it states that a man is to leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and two shall become as one flesh. The Lord gives guidance on how we are to treat one another. As for the wife, we are made as helper for the man, as it states in Genesis 2:18-20. We are to submit to our husbands in 1 Peter 3:5-6, to love them, that's in Titus 2:4, and give them respect, which is in Ephesians 5:33. The man also is to love, which is in Ephesians 5:25-28, give honor, 1 Peter 3:7, and protect his wife, which is in 1 Samuel 30:1-19. The Lord knew marriage is not an easy task between two people, so he gives us instructions to make an everlasting marriage. My husband and I need many reminders of how we should treat one another. I believe if we continue to focus on the Lord's way and put Him first in our lives, we will live a happier and more fulfilling life. I thank the Lord for giving me four lovely children. As you can imagine, I'm dealing with four phases in a child's life. My 5-year-old attends kindergarten where she is making new friends and showing signs of independence. The 11-year-old is interested in fun and games. My 12-year-old is my preteen princess. Her concerns are friends, appearance, and style. And finally, the 16-year-old is beginning his young adulthood life, but still needs guidance from mom and dad. Being able to balance the different phases of my children is very challenging. All their needs are met differently. In the beginning, my husband and I were very strong and committed to teaching our children about God. We had devotional Bible studies 2-3 times a week, sing praises every night, and participate in church activities. Our children were young, didn't have a lot of things to distract them. But as they got older, sports, music, and homework took the place of Bible studies. My husband and I gave everything we thought our children needed to do be well-rounded individuals. We tried to give them a good education, encourage them to join sports in every season, and take music classes they were interested in. It was joyful to see our children strive to do well in activities they love. However, James and I sacrificed all our time, energy, and finances to give these worldly things to our children. These many activities kept our schedule busy. After working long hours, I would take my children to their activities. Often, I would have three activities in a day. We were so busy with our schedule that making dinner was an extra chore I had to fit in. Occasionally, I was able to quickly cook food between activities, but often, takeout food was the only choice. This was my daily routine. We were so busy with the everyday cares of life that we did not make time for the Lord, not even to sing a song and a prayer. In Proverbs 22:6, it states, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." The Lord gave Solomon, the author of this book, wisdom so that he can give us detailed instruction on how to deal with our everyday life. As we all know from many experiences, this statement is true. If we neglect our children and allow them to learn from the world, the results often become frightening. They end up loving and doing the worldly things. The Lord gave us warning about loving the world. It states in 1 John 2:15-17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Therefore, if we truly love our children, we should not allow them to learn from the world. We should make time to teach them about God, as it states in Ephesians 6:4. "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." I understand my children will make many mistakes throughout their lives. But I know if I train them in the Lord, they will be forgiven and return to what they have been taught. There will always be many distractions in our life. These things are temporary. They will not last forever. But the Word of God will live eternally in our heart and mind and will help us live through our daily trials. Therefore, we should now allow ourselves to be distracted with the many things in our lives and forget our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we should be like Mary in Luke 10:42. Who took time to sit and listen to Jesus speak. As we remember, Jesus states that Mary took what was needed in her life, and they will not be taken away from her, the Word of God. We, in return, should make time to sit and read God's Word daily, continue to help serve the Lord in our church, and teach others about our God. By doing this, our relationship with our Lord will grow and will bless our lives fully. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Thank you.